Greetings. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I am a pastor and teacher, author, entrepreneur, father, husband, grandfather, and host of the Shadows Project podcast. Throughout my 50 years of Christian ministry, prison ministry and criminal justice reform has by far been the most challenging. On this podcast, we will uncover the critical truths and justifications regarding prison ministry and criminal justice, and why it is important to the church and to our communities for engagement. Join me in hopes of spreading more awareness and recognition to this overlooked and mostly abandoned church ministry on the Shadows Project podcast. Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I have been in Christian ministry now for over 50 years. I've served 40 years as a pastor and teacher, and recently retired from the pastoral ministry at the Greater First Church in Baker, Louisiana. Also, for 25 years, I have served and continue to serve as the founder, chairman, and CEO of the Reclamation and Restoration Ministries Incorporated, which is a 501c3 nonprofit public charity that I organized with some extraordinary people in Gary, Indiana in 1996. I've served 25 combined years as a deputy sheriff, staff jail chaplain, and state prison clinical chaplain in both Louisiana and Indiana, with 17 of those years as the founder and former executive secretary of the Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Commission of the National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated. I'm really excited today because I'm announcing that we have a new Shadows podcast structure. And this new structure will allow occasional special guests to join me in conversations about pertinent and relevant challenges, issues, and topics for Christ Church in the 21st century. And this is designed especially to be inclusive of young adults and millennials to hear their fresh, new ideas and their concerns regarding the church's relevancy and its effectiveness. Christian ministry resource books that I have authored will also be continue to be offered in the podcast. You'll hear more about the books in a little while. But the podcast shall and can be accessed every Sunday on various platforms from 6 p.m. to about 7 o'clock p.m. So again, beginning in 2022, I'm excited about this new direction that God has directed me and my supporters in this podcast, the Shadows Podcast ministry. And what's really exciting about this new structure is that each episode will begin with a course learning training series. And so I look forward to that whole new structure. And I just want to share briefly now the second kingdom principle. I want to begin there because it's unique to the Shadows publication and the very premise of our work. And this kingdom principle, number two, involves a willingness to serve, not necessarily where one desires to serve, but to serve where one is needed. And I will be presenting five different kingdom principles that are biblically and theologically inclined and directed and informed. And it will be, I think, a very exciting time in looking at what God is saying to us as members of his kingdom, as workers in his vineyard, as workers in the body of Christ, and all of those images regarding Christ Church. We'll be looking at how to really get involved in terms of this Shadows principle. And those five kingdom principles are based upon the writing of the book. Each chapter deals with a particular principle. And we're just going to give you some excerpts, if you will, of those five kingdom principles. And so right now, just talking about kingdom number two, kingdom principle number two, again, involves a willingness to serve not necessarily where one desires to serve, but to serve where one is needed. And obviously, in my 50 years of ministry, in various venues and types of ministry, I've learned that this principle is one of the most significant ones, because it all takes us back to what ministry really is designed for, and that's to meet the needs of people, to meet them where they are. As Jesus met the woman at the well, he began in terms of where she was, not only in her location, but in her thinking, in her whole understanding of life. And so kingdom principle number two informs us that we must be willing to serve not just where we want to serve, but to serve where one is needed. And this principle was vividly necessary when seeking entree, especially into jails and prisons. And I highlight that in my other book, especially, How Shall They Hear? Which is my other publication that we'll also be sharing with you. But having served as a clinical chaplain in both Louisiana and Indiana, I know the importance of volunteers understanding the need to convince the chaplain that they desire to assist him or her in his or her ministry. Two significant things have occurred. One, you have acknowledged the chaplain's role as a key player in correctional ministry and given the chaplain the much needed acknowledgement of his or her value to the Christian ministry. Chaplaincy, again, is definitely working in the shadows, not in the bright lights where you get pats on the back, but in the midst of a dysfunctional community where character, where competence, where commitment and pride are demanded, that would take place within those confines of that ministry. And so you really encourage the chaplain when you acknowledge that you want to help assist in their ministry, now that you're bringing yours, and yours is the one that's going to save all the prisoners and going to save the world. No, you don't approach the chaplain like that. Entree is to allow the chaplain to understand that you want to come and to assist in a meaningful ministry that's already taking place. And so volunteers lessen their ministry's chances of providing ministry to prisoners if they approach the chaplain with the ready-made program or services. The best approach is making sure that one asks the chaplain where in his or her religious programming does he or she need assistance. For example, volunteers may desire to bring their church ministry into the prison or jail to conduct worship services in the large chapel with many prisoners in attendance and so forth. But the religious programming may have a number of churches already providing those services, and even more on the waiting list. Thus, the chaplain can simply and justifiably say no to the request that you have to minister there. But the chaplain may need trained volunteers to provide one-on-one counseling and witnessing to prisoners in the lockdown units, as I did when I managed the ministry for Camp J at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana. And their prisoners from within the disciplinary unit were on lockdown for 23 hours a day in their individual cells. Yet Bibles and religious materials, Bible studies, counseling, and even water baptisms always first determine what the religious need is. And those were the religious programming needs in that particular facility. Thus, the approach to ministering in prisons will always be based upon the needs of that religious program. Volunteers must not go seeking to serve with their own ready-made ministry agendas and instead should prepare to serve where needed in the shadows of the jailhouse, when the shadows of your church congregation, in the shadows of the greatness of your leaders. You may be in the background, but there is a great ministry that takes place within the shadows. And that whole point of my writing the book is to encourage those who are giving that kind of character and competence and commitment in those ministry situations, even of other people's ministries, where they are doing a tremendous work without pats on the back, without the bright lights, without the prestige and privilege and position and all the other things that we think that worldly greatness inspires. But yet great work is being done in what I call the shadows of our ministry. And so to this point, the other side of this kingdom principle is if you cannot serve where you are needed, then you are not needed to serve. That principle is so important to understand. If you can't serve where you're needed, then you're not needed to serve in that particular ministry. And to this point, I recall a great learning myself as a young pastor and teacher. My denomination's newly elected National Convention president, who appointed me as the executive secretary of the convention's first Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Commission that I founded and organized in 1994, that pastor, that great president, invited me to conduct my first prison ministry workshop for the Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida area churches, with the host church being the Bethel Metropolitan Baptist Church, where the Reverend Dr. Henry J. Lyon served as the senior pastor. And so as the new National Convention president, he was out of town traveling on business that weekend and planned to return to St. Petersburg on that Sunday. Well, he also asked me to preach to his congregation at the 8 o'clock a.m. worship service since I was training in his church that Saturday. He thought it would be good that I would preach on Sunday in his absence and that he would be returning later on in the day. But when he said 8 o'clock a.m., I kind of paused, and he felt that pause in our conversation, and I really desired to preach at the 11 o'clock a.m. worship service, having anticipated a larger crowd and that more key members and friends would be in attendance. I wanted the 11 o'clock service time to preach. And I shared with Dr. Lyons about the success of the prison ministry and the training event as we discussed over and other opportunities with much joy and with much glee. However, when I hinted to the pastor and teacher that I would rather preach at the 11 o'clock a.m. service, the whole tenor of the conversation changed, as did the pastor and teacher's voice when he said very bluntly to me, "Kelly, I need you to serve where you are needed, and I need you to preach at 8 o'clock a.m. My brothers and sisters, for a young preacher, this was a moment in ministry where I should have been more astute to the role of the pastor and teacher. Since I myself was leading and serving the Van Buren Missionary Baptist Church in Gary, Indiana, yet I was blinded by the bright lights, the pats on the back, the big stage, the plaudits, the praise, and the applause. What the senior master pastor and teacher was implying to me in his gentle approach was that he, as the shepherd of his flock, had a spiritual, pastoral, urgent, administrative, and timely agenda that only the pastor, the overseer, the servant leader, the shepherd needed to convey to his sheep. It wasn't about my need, but ministry is always about the needs of others. And so my ministry at Bethel Metropolitan Baptist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida, that Sunday morning was to serve in the shadow of the shepherd. I was not needed at the 11 o'clock worship service because my assignment, being fashioned by my gifts, my character, my competence, my commitment, and my obligation to duty, was to be performed at the worship service at 8 o'clock a.m. What a learning about serving in the shadows of greatness. And so this Shadows training program will not only help you implement and sustain effective programs for your church ministry, but it will aid and strengthen the overall mission and ministry of your church because of the trained and committed Christian workers who undergo this spiritual discipline of true service. I guarantee you, after you go through these five kingdom principles for true service, your ministries will be more exciting, will be more effective. And we know they'll be indeed, in a sense, continuing as you're doing now to really give God the praise and the glory. And so by implementing this Shadows program in your church, it will also coincide with your human resources department, allowing your church to create more committed and dedicated Christian workers. And of course, enhance and advance your evangelistic outreach efforts. To begin the process of establishing your own Shadows program, please sign up at the form below this page so I can send you all the necessary information you will need. And my brothers and my sisters, I thank you for your time, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Remember to keep on praying, keep on planning to be safe, and of course, keep on persevering. I look forward to talking to you soon. God bless you.